Welcome back to another episode of the We On One podcast. Today we have a special episode. I am joined by the owners, entrepreneurs of Soul Seekers here in Gurnee Mills, John O and D. How you guys doing today?
Pretty good, man. What's going on?
You guys doing well?
Yes, sir.
For sure. I appreciate you guys joining me and everything. You know, I know we were supposed to record this shit a few weeks ago and we had some technical difficulties, so I'm glad we worked all that shit out, but let's go ahead and jump in right into it. Maybe we can go down the list a little, like down between you guys, and we'll go from there. All right. So, where are you guys from? Let's start with D. Where are you from, D?
Waukegan. Yeah. Born and raised, yep.
You lived there your whole life and shit?
Lived there my whole life, but I moved away. Been moving around and stuff like that.
Right, for sure. What part of Waukegan are you from?
North side.
Okay.
West side.
What about you, Jono?
I was born in Germany, but I've been in Waukegan pretty much my whole life.
I thought you ended up in Waukegan from Germany.
My dad in the military.
So okay. Stationed out. You like a military brat type deal?
Yeah.
I feel that. So, how'd you guys meet? You guys like cousins?
Our mothers are sisters.
It's all good, bro. That's what's up. So, have you guys always been close and shit, or you guys just over the years just like? Who's older?
Me. I'm the oldest cousin. He the youngest cousin.
Used to beat him up and shit? Or? Nah, never that type of shit? Nah, okay.
He used to beat me up in video games. I beat him up in sports.
I bet. What sports did you play growing up?
Basketball.
You too? Or?
I played basketball and baseball.
For sure. Yeah. So pretty much, what got you guys into shoes? Like, what made you guys decide to say, like, hey, fuck it, let's get together, let's become entrepreneurs, and let's do a shoe store here, a consignment store?
It didn't start off as a shoe store. We started off doing like a little convention, like kind of like sneaker con.
Right.
Just to see if it, like a buzz, anything like that was around the area. If people had shoes or interest like that. And then it just turned into this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, first we did like two conventions. Once we did two conventions, then I had the opportunity to like get a storefront.
Right.
We just went in on there. I told him I wanted to do it. He had a little bit of money. So, took off from there.
Yeah. How do you feel about, like, all this, you know, everything that it's, like, flourished to and became?
Oh, it's nice. He pretty much got me in the shoes because, like you said, he's the oldest cousin. I'm one of the youngest. So, like, growing up, he would always have new shoes.
Got new shoes and shit. And keeping them fly.
He would pass them on down, you know. Keep it in the family.
Yeah, I feel that.
They didn't even fit the damn shoes. I wore a 13. I wore a size 10.
Goddamn. Would you ever, like, double socking it and shit?
I was just out here flopping. What you gonna say to me, though? I got the newest joints.
Right. So, did you guys ever, like, work for, like, a Finish Line, Foot Locker type of deal?
I worked for every single one.
I worked for Finish Line, too, when I was, like, 18 and shit like that. I used to sell shoes. I did that for, like, a year. Right. That shit was pretty cool.
I worked at Foot Action for 2 years.
Right.
Finish Line for 3 years. Champ Sports for, like, 3 months. Foot Locker for 2 years. I've been in the industry for a little bit.
Yeah. What happened to that champ, bro?
You was backdooring?
Nah, I got fired before I could.
God damn. What about you, John?
This is
all brand new to you. What were you doing before you started Soul Seekers and shit?
I went to college. I went to Kishwaukee for 2 years. Played baseball there.
Okay.
Then I had a shoulder injury, so I came back home, and that's when we reconnected and took off from there.
What'd you go to college for? Like, besides, you know, you went to play baseball, but, like, what was your major?
Pretty much.
Just major in bullshit.
After that shit was over, it was, I'm coming home.
I feel that shit. What about you, D? You was just working and shit, or just doing a 9-to-5 grind until you...
Hell no. I've always owned, like, small business and stuff like that. Before this, I had a car customization shop.
Okay.
Before that.
Here in the Lake County area?
Yeah, it's called Imagine That.
Okay.
Customs and stuff like that. We did cars and stuff. I did that for like 5-6 years. Then I shut down for a little bit, doing a little bit of promotional work for like concerts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like I said, we started doing conventions just to see if it was any buzz and people wanted to do this stuff around here. And it was actually my first convention did well. I had about 45, 50 vendors, but then we had like 2,000 people come through.
Right. So, and where'd you hold this first convention at?
The Sundance Saloon.
Okay. It's called, I know what you're talking about, right there off of 120?
Yeah. So we did that. We did that for like 2 years. And then once I had the opportunity to finally like get a storefront. One of our friends' families owns a strip mall. So he was like, I reached out to them to see if we get a good price. They gave us a good price. We just went from there.
So right here in Gurnee wasn't the first location
for
it?
No, no. Not in the mall. We were actually in Gurnee. We were on Milwaukee at first, but we was over there. We was there. We started in August of 2017 there.
Right.
And we stayed there till we got the opportunity to do a pop-up in the mall for the holidays. So we left that store in November to do the pop-up here.
Right.
And the pop-up did well.
And what year was this?
Still 2017.
Oh, still 2017.
So we opened up in August on 21. Right. And then November, we shut down over there to do the pop-up in here, but it wasn't over here. It was like at the other end a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And it was just a makeshift shop. It wasn't like, it didn't look nothing like this one, you know what I'm saying? But that's how we started. And then we showed a little interest, and the mall was like, well, we'll basically let you guys come over here for the same amount of rent that you guys are paying there. So we kind of, we finessed the situation and we got in the mall. We did our build out down at that store down there. And then I just kept my eye out on this one, waiting for this one come up, became open. When it became open, I'm like, let's try to get it. And they gave it to us.
For real, for real. So you started off, you said you started off doing conventions and shit like that. What led from the conventions that was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and put a, like, what led from that to, like, actually doing a consignment, selling shoes and stuff like that?
Because there was none in the area. Within, like, within, like, the 15, 20 miles, there was none within the area. So it was, like, it's kind of like a no-brainer. If you're the first to the punch, you know what I'm saying? You always kind of win.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, because I know that, like, growing up and shit like that, like, in the early 2010s, you had, like, places like Flight Club and stuff like that. But, like, you really had to, like, go online and you couldn't really, you know, it was a time where, like, in the internet, you didn't know if that shit was real or not. You didn't know if it was just all for, like, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you'd have to go out to the city and try to find someone that knew someone type of deal.
You had to buy personal collections and stuff like that. That's how it used to be back then. But now, I mean, you got a bunch of stores like this. I mean, competition, it's not so much competition. It's just having what everybody wants. You know what I'm saying? Like, making sure that you have enough stuff in your store that everybody wants. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got over probably got like 1,500 pairs of shoes in here, and a size runs about 14 pairs. So we had all 14 pair.
Right. So what do you think that is like the most popular shoe that you guys hold, or that like people come in and try to like do a consignment on all the time?
Right now, it's waves. It just depends. Like when we first started, Retro Ones was real big.
Yeah.
Now we can't keep Retro Fours.
Right.
It doesn't matter what four it is. It can be one that sits on shelves for 2 weeks, or it could be the militaries or the thunders or anything that's been going. But right now, the four wave is real, real big.
Yeah, I noticed that because, like, I have a funny story. So I got the Black Cat Fours, but I got them for retail. I got them as a gift.
Right.
And at that time, they were, like, sitting at Finish Line.
Yeah.
And they were sitting there for, like, a couple months. And all of a sudden, I remember, like, my brother hits me up. I was like, yo, you still got those Fours? And I said, yeah. He's like, let me buy them off you. And I was like, he had gave me a price. And at first, I was just kind of like, maybe, probably not, because they were a gift. And then when I went to go see what they were reselling for, like damn near almost $1,000 in my size, I was like, hell nah, you ain't getting these. I'm gonna just put them right back in the closet. I wear them occasionally.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, how do you guys feel about that? Like, you know, people who wear their shoes and shit like that. I know that usually, like in the sneaker space, it's very like almost frowned upon to a certain extent.
It just depends, man. It really depends. Like, I mean, you got people you got real, real sneakerheads that'll really wear their stuff, and then majority of everybody now knows that there's values involved in all the sneakers and stuff like that. So even you got people that'll buy a shoe if they hit it for retail or resale, they'll buy it, wear it two times, and then try to get their money back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean, as far as like caring if they wear their stuff or not, it really doesn't bother me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're doing it for the culture as well as to feed our families. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So it kind
of it's like one of those things that you guys like. You're passionate about this.
Yeah. You have to be, actually. You know what I'm saying? Your job never stops.
Yeah, I feel that. So, what about you, John? What, like, keeps you going in this, I guess, like, how you were saying, like, there's a lot of competition, and some would say it's, like, very saturated in this field, but, like, it's like you said, like, as long as you have what other people don't, it kind of keeps you going. But what keeps you going in this, like, specific
field? The main thing I like is building relationships with, like, the customers that come in and knowing that they can probably get the shoe somewhere else, but just knowing that when they come here, they can kick it, they can chill, you know.
Given that, like, the atmosphere vibe?
Like, the family atmosphere vibe, and, just pretty much that. I mean, we're so chill here.
What do you think separates you guys from, like, a Flight Club, from, like, you know, a traditional commercial Foot Locker and things like that? You know, aside from having things that, you know, obviously they don't have a lot of, you know, the selection you guys have here, but what makes you guys stand out in that area, you feel like?
I feel like the ambiance of the store, and I mean employees and stuff like that, they, you know what I'm saying, they have their friends and stuff to come through and stuff like that, but I feel like the ambiance of the store, like, when I've been to Flight Club numerous times, and it's pretty cut and dry. You know, go in there, look, pick something off the wall, try it on, leave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We try to build a little bit more relationship with our customers and stuff like that, get their phone numbers, get their size. So if they do want something or need something, we don't really want to bug them, but we do reach out to them once every blue moon. Hey, this shoe came in, or are you looking for anything, you know, such and such. We try to build a more personable relationship versus you just being a client. You know what I'm saying?
Now, what about, like, on the consignment side? Like, you guys have, like, regulars who come in all the time with, like, sneakers that are how does that work?
You know, they just pretty much bring in their shoes, set it at a price. We put a little 15% extra just, you know, to keep it going for us. And they go from there. They pretty much try to get things we don't have, you know, so we don't really clash in that aspect. But
how does that whole process, like, start? So, like, say I come here and I say, hey, I have these, like, Flu Game 12s. I don't know. I got them. I had them for retail, but I want to sell them for whatever they're going for. What is the process from, like, start to beginning? Do you, like, check?
The first step will be we'll make sure they're real. Then after that, we'll make sure that they're not worn or anything like that, because we have just recently started dealing with lightly used shoes, but it's more like me buying out somebody who has a steal on 50 pair of shoes, and I know I can make a bunch of money off that. You know what I'm saying? So we're just now starting to get into the use. But as far as the consignment process goes, first we check if they're legit. Second, we make sure that they're not worn. Then we talk to you about the price point. Then we check the price point. Then we agree on the price. We let you know as far as what we're going to do, what we're going to charge. Right. Once we agree to all that, then we do what we do. We use our platform to sell the shoes. We wrap the shoe up. We put the price in the system and all that stuff like that. Then we use our platform to sell them. Once it sells, we reach out to you via email, phone call, and we let you know that you're going to pick up your check. Every Saturday we pay out.
And even in, like, that, like, process, like, is there, like, is it, like, profitable for people to, like, go ahead and, like, want to come here and sell it?
Probably, yeah, because most of the people that we deal with, a lot of them are getting their shoes at retail.
Mm-hmm.
The resale is usually three to four times that on the certain shoes that they're bringing in. So, and then at the end of the day, they don't have to use their time to sell them.
Yeah, you guys do all the hassling and haggling for them on that end.
Most people that we deal with, they have a very small network to which they can sell the shoes, but they have a source. So if they can get the shoes, most of the people that we deal with they buy everything at retail. I didn't have it. Since I've been open, I haven't bought not one sneaker that I've owned or we sell in the store have I bought at retail. Mm-hmm. But that also helps the community as well, too. The people that are around us like that, they depend on that. You know what I'm saying? Every week they know they can come in and get $30 and they got 10 pairs of shoes. That's an extra $300.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? They're weekly. You know what I'm saying? So if you keep on doing that, you do it four times a month, you just made $1,200 and you didn't do anything but use your resource to get the sneaker. You're not up. You're not putting on your network, trying to get rid of it or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
You guys do that whole process for them, and then they just call them, hit them, like, hey, it's time to come pick up that check?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So what is, like, after all that happens, has there ever been, like, a time where, like, somebody's came in and said, like, hey, like, I want to sell these at X, Y, and Z price point? You kind of have to, like, sit down with them and be like, look, that's not really realistic, or how do you go about that? Like, those who kind of are really trying to make a killing on a resale, but you know that the market isn't really, like, pointing in that direction.
Yeah, some people do that and they try to make a killing, you know, or they've been sitting on them so long that they think they deserve that amount. But then at the end of the day, we tell them that, I mean, it's still our platform and we're the ones that got to answer that bad Google review. Oh my God, they taxing, you know what I mean? Like,
I hear you. What do you guys think, like, you know, I guess this is a question for each one of you guys, but let's start with you. What do you think has been, like, the hardest part? You know, since, because we went through a pandemic in 2020, how did that affect the business?
I mean, we probably did the best that we ever did through the pandemic because I didn't have any overhead. I'm selling the stuff out the house. And then we had a connection on Cool Gray 11s. I actually had bought probably 700 pairs of them.
Right.
So we was going, I mean, we had the stuff that we had wasn't coming out for 3-4 months because of the pandemic or whatever. So we kind of did good at that aspect, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we're feeling the pandemic more now than we did when the actual pandemic
was. Once everything actually starts slowing down, everybody's able to go back outside.
That's how I feel like now, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, now, it's not really, like, it's humbling, you know what I'm saying? Like, when we was going through the pandemic and everything like that, we didn't get any of the PPP money. We can't get any of the ERC money because the amount of money we made because of the product that we had. You know what I'm saying? We had so much early stuff.
So it kind of had like that, like the good and the bad to it, like the pros and the cons to it. Like, obviously, you know, you would want those resources that every other small business was also getting, but, you know, you were doing so well and so great that it just wasn't beneficiary, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't.
What do you think is like one of the hardest things as far as like opening up your own business and like doing things like that? Oh, good. No, you're good. You're good. So, what do you think is like one of the hardest things about like opening up a small business and things?
Just expectations, like what everybody thinks is supposed to be in the beginning. Like when we first opened to how my store looks now, I said, if you seen the pictures, you'd be like, I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, we always look back and you're like, bro, why the hell did you let me open this?
I had more shoes in my closet, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, the hardships is, especially with the mall, you got to deal with the hours, you know what I'm talking about? And then you got to have enough people in here because if not, you get robbed blind. So you got to, your overhead as far as payroll and stuff like that, that's more difficult. And dealing with the different personalities of your employees and making sure you got the right people in here and making sure that one of your employees ain't a thief.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So those are as far as I'm concerned, that's more of the harder things for me to deal with is like that aspect of it. That's why he deals with all that. He deals with them, the personality.
So you're more like the manager on the ground and you deal more of like the business on the back end type deals, D? Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you think is like, so, you know, there's a statistic that pretty much says that, like, businesses usually fail within, like, the first 5 years and things like that. Did you ever have that, like, in the back of your head? Like, man, we gotta beat that?
The whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time.
And that's what motivated you to, like, want to keep going? Or
I was going to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to be, if I had to hit the corner or whatever, man, this was going to be what it had to be.
Right.
Like, I wasn't going to, I mean, this is, like, my fourth, like I said, this is, like, my fourth business. Right. And all the other businesses, I just closed them because I was tired of the overhead, and I didn't have a person that would help me as far in regards to dealing with the personalities of the employees and stuff like that. Like, I'm cool. I'm a people person. But once you piss me off, it's
yeah, like, it's kind of game over.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think is the hardest part about your job, Jono?
Like you said, just dealing with the customers. You know, some people just come in with that mindset that they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They don't care how our day is going. They're having a bad day, so they want to make everybody else's day
even worse.
Bad, pretty much, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, like you also said, the hours dealing with the mall, like, you know, the holidays that everybody else gets off, that's the days that we really need to be open. That's the days everybody is here.
So,
just dealing with the hours and some angry customers. But like I said, all our employees do pretty well. We try to be straightforward and keep everybody and treat everybody the same.
So for like, you know, for other like small, you know, business and entrepreneurs, what is the hiring process like here? Like, do you apply online? Do you got to come in? Or what is it like if somebody decided like, hey, like, I want to come get a job here at Soul Seekers, get a foot in the game? What's it like?
If I don't know, you ain't getting hired.
You got to know your mama, your dad, somebody.
Your mama, your grandmama. Somebody, you gotta know somebody from somewhere.
Right.
Otherwise, we ain't getting hired. I lost a lot of friends because my friends feel like because I have a business and stuff like that, and I should hire their kids and stuff like that. And that's not how it works. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta deal with so much. And then if you hire everybody's kids and stuff like that, then the kid comes in and feel like, oh, he's my dad's best friend or something like that. And then I don't gotta work as hard as this person that. Everybody who works there, they know me and they know that. You can get your ass fired still.
There's expectations. Yeah. Like, we know each other. We have a personal relationship.
Cool.
But
at the same token, like, you can ask for whatever you want. You don't have to steal.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem here, if something breaks or something, don't keep it a secret. Just be honest. Like, I'm trying to – I got teenagers here, so we're trying to – at the same token, we're not – I'm not raising them.
I'm trying to
make sure that they know the difference between working and not working and working with somebody you know versus – and that's a privilege working – with somebody that you can actually know and you see outside of the workplace versus working for Saks where you never ever see the owner or anything like that. You know,
I'm working for a finish line and not knowing who Mr. Finish Line is.
I mean, they'll get called out of their name here, but it's like we're joking.
There is no HR here.
It's HR, but they don't really answer shit.
I just go to the back and change my shirt.
You turn around like, I'm the manager.
Yeah, what's up, bro?
Man, so what is like the, I guess, you know, if you could sit down and you could tell someone right now, like, hey, like, this is how you would start step one. What is step one?
You gotta have a network. It doesn't. Okay. You can't do anything without having a network. So you gotta, people have to know what you have, and they have to know that you had it. And they have to know that you had it.
You're all good, bro.
They gotta know that you had it. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, it's like, you can have water. But everybody got water.
Right.
So how are you going to sell your water? What makes your water better? You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you don't have a network to sell something or do things like certain things, then it gets to that point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I would say, first, make sure you know what you're doing. Make sure you got enough money to know what, you know what I'm saying, to fund whatever you're trying to do. And make sure you got the network. Make sure you got the people that around you that are going to either help you get your product or whatever it is you're doing out there. Or you already have the network and it's gonna work out for you. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this stuff's not for everybody considering, like I said, when we opened outside the mall, we wouldn't have made it to the 5-year threshold.
Yeah.
Because of
that. If you guys would have stayed there.
Outside of the mall, just because we didn't care. You know what I'm saying? I put a sign on the door like this, call me if you want me to come back.
He'll be three doors down getting his haircut.
Getting a haircut, like, bro, just call me. I'll come in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
this, are those, like, learning pains that you had to, like, overcome?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I knew, like, because I worked at Finish Line Champs and all that stuff. So I knew that working in the mall, the hours was going to always be the problem because you got to be open. Like, no matter what, you have to be open. You know what I'm saying? It could be a blizzard outside. And if they tell you, unless the mall calls you or something like that, I mean, now it's better because we can say, well, we had one of our workers had COVID. So we're closed today. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't fuck around and the motherfucker got COVID.
Quick.
Where did, like, you know, listening to your story and stuff like that, where did you learn that, like, where'd you get that, like, entrepreneurial spirit from? Like, where did you get that, like, that it thing about you that made you say, like, man, this shit's going to work out no matter what happens?
You want the rated R version?
Give it to me, bro. Go ahead.
I've been hustling my whole life, dog. So I'm 16 years old. My mom didn't want to buy me Jordans when I was 4. I said, I'm going to get them Jordans.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I mean, you just got the hustle mentality. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want something, my parents, we wasn't broke. I can't say I had a broken family or anything like that. But they wasn't just spending their money on me.
Yeah.
If you want it, save your money, go get it. And my question to them is, what money am I saving? How am I getting some money?
You know what I'm saying? I was like $5 a week.
Yeah. So then I figured it out, you know what I'm saying? Did what I had to do or whatever. Right. You know what I'm saying? I had a little bit of a street life back then or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? I'm a lot older now. I'm 44 years old and stuff like that. So now.
Statue of limitations are up. Statue of limitations are up.
You know what I'm saying? It looks kind of weird, so, you know what I'm saying, being out there like that. So,
you know, kind of tapping into that. What was it like, though, like growing up and really trying to figure it out, like in the streets and shit, like for you?
I mean, it wasn't. I knew everybody. I worked in the shoe store. So it kind of went hand in hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know everybody, you got something everybody doing. It was kind of easy. Come to the store, get some shoes, get dropped off at the mall. Went hand in hand. So it was like, it wasn't really like hard or nothing like that. It was just using your brain and trying to figure out how you can manipulate the situation to where it best suits you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, okay, I'm in the shoe store. I'm not going to get caught in the shoe store. People come in the shoe store and they're buying shoes and shit like that. And then I ain't going to lie to you, I started stealing shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I had a whole little operation. Like, the cashier knew.
Yeah.
They had the bags in the garbage. I mean, in the bathroom. I go in the bathroom. I fold up the garbage, the bags, and put them in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? And I go to all the little security meetings and learn what you can and can't do. So I was like, okay. So I had a whole little operation.
So, like, doing my best DJ Vlad impression, what was the operation? Like, you know, like, not that, like, we're encouraging this shit, but, like.
Yeah, any of our employees watching this, yeah, don't think about this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a cashier, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So basically at the store, you know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't, like me as an employee at the store, I couldn't. If I seen you with a bag, if I seen you walk out with the store, I had to tell my manager.
Yeah.
And my manager had to call security, and security, by that time, you're gone.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm
so
saying?
So you weren't, like, in a position where, like, you were able to, like, stop someone from actually,
no,
like...
No, I couldn't. If I seen it, I had to tell this person, that person, this person, this person. So my friends, what they would do is they'll come in the store, quick, right? And I wouldn't talk to you, though. You go talk to somebody else that didn't know me. But I already knew what you wanted.
What was going on.
I knew what you wanted. So when you went and got the shoe off the wall, I went to the back. I knew your size. I went to the back, got your size. I put it in a bag, and I leave it along the wall in the back.
Mm.
You walk past, grab your bag, keep it walking. Right. Cashier seen you. If she seen you, she get extra $20 from me. Shut up.
Yeah.
If she didn't see you, I ain't had to give her nothing. But then it got to the point where.
And how did that benefit? Like, how did you make your money doing that though? Like, were they just off to the side type type of shit?
Anything you want is $50. So if you wanted a shoe, it cost $20. For me to steal it, it cost $50. So right. You better come in and get some Jordans. So you figure, I was feeling Christmas list, bro.
Yeah.
Like, people give me Christmas, they're like, all right, cool. That's why they took the lockers out of the mall, because it ain't. I'll sell you a key for $750. Here, bro, go open a thing. Boom. One day I dropped the key in the store. The manager went, opened the thing. It was 3 G's worth of stuff in there.
God damn.
Buy locker malls.
And did you ever get caught doing that shit?
Nope, I quit. No. I always quit.
You just quit? when enough is enough?
It, bro. We can feel it. Good intuition.
We'll be in a meeting, and be like, we lost $75,000 this month.
God
like,
damn.
I'd be like, they'd be like, do you guys know anything about this? How is this happening? I quit.
On the Foot Locker. Let's go to Foot Locker real quick.
I'll be like, yo, I put in my 2 weeks, like, yo, check it out, man. Foot Locker's today about to give me $2 more plus 30% commission. I'm right. Going. They'd be like, okay, cool. But what I didn't notice is when I left, they were still having a problem. So
yeah.
Like, a couple of managers would be like, damn, we thought it was you.
Yeah, the whole time.
When you left, it kind of went up.
Yeah.
That we were structured.
Yeah. What about you, John? Were you ever into doing that shit? You said, hell no, I was playing baseball.
I had a little operation when I worked at the candy store. It wasn't that
deep. Yeah. But that kind of goes into, like, really just saying, like, how you just always had, like, a thing for it. Like, you know, you hear about, like, all these great businessmen who are, like, you know, like the Rick Rosses and shit like that, and, you know, the Jay-Z's and shit, like, CEOs who took something that, you know, wasn't so positive and shit like that, but used that same mind frame, that same structure to put it into something that's really positive and being able to feed your family off and shit like that.
I mean, it was always positive. I was, man, my friend.
Because you were doing it for the right.
They was getting 50% discount. They were positive as shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, but if you think about it, like, you know, you're stealing from a store and shit like that. But, like, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because, you know, they got insurances they and shit like that. They gonna get it right.
Well, like you said, it's like the thing. Like, we're here every day. So, you know what I mean? Like, if our employees run, like, I just feel like they wouldn't do that.
Run a play.
Yeah, they see us every day, like you said.
But because you guys, and you've done that, and you've been through that, it's kind of like, you know, when, you know, you have your own kids, and you kind of be like, look, I did that same shit that you was doing. I know when you're lying to me. I know when you're doing this little bullshit, when you're hiding shit behind my back. Like, just tell me the truth, and you'll be in less trouble.
Yeah. I mean, with us, with the employees here and stuff like that, I know them. And I know I watched them. They were little kids in diapers.
Yeah.
They got a job here. Like, to them, them having a job here is like, it's almost like making it. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's not. I always tell them, and I always try to give them other options to make money and things to do like that. But, I mean, they're fat. This dude here, he's been with us since 19. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and he was the first, he's our first employee. You know what I'm saying? And I watched him
grow up.
At a convention. We was at a convention. This is the only one that is not, like, related to me. Everybody else here is pretty much related to me. I've known them before they knew they sell.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Besides him. But I watched him at a convention or whatever, and I like how he moved around and stuff like that. And I asked him one day, you want a job? He's like, yeah. And he came in here part-time, and then I pretty much made him switch over to be our full-time worker. So.
Right. And what is, like, you know, like, without, obviously, you know, you don't got to tell me what he gets paid, but what's, like, his play plan? Like, is it, like, a normal... You know, like, when I worked at Finish Line, you got your, like, $5 an hour, but you also got, like, a 1%.
No.
You know, because back then, the commissions were bullshit back then. It was, 1%.
Yeah, no shit.
They was bullshit. They was bullshit.
You get your 40-hour, $200 check and your commission check. My commission check, $210. I'm like, yeah.
That shit was bullshit. Yeah.
I didn't want the checks. But here, I mean, they get a decent hourly. So we keep up with their everybody that works is well over minimum wage.
Right.
And then every sneaker they sell, besides, like, Air Force Ones and shit like that, we give them $5.
Okay.
That's Jonah's doing, though. You know what I'm saying? Because
you just agreed to that?
Like, all right, bro. Like, what the fuck am I giving an hourly for? And they got to give him $5 to sell the shoes. Like, that's what the fuck they're here for.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're supposed to do is sell the shoes. Like, okay.
Well, after that,
it went crazy. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, like,
that's the increase.
They were down there walking.
You play kind of like the middleman between D and the employees. You're the manager. My assumption is, like, what is your role here?
So I pretty much do, like, all the financials and, like, all the, like, business aspect. And he keeps the store full, like you said, like, 1,500.
Inventory flowing and shit like that, the products here.
T-shirts, all the specials, all the flyers and all that shit, you know what I'm saying? Keep the store moving.
The marketing, like you said, the first thing that you would need to start the store.
So are you, do sometimes, like, so, you know, if you're here, I'm assuming both of you guys are here every day. But like, is there ever employees who sometimes feel more comfortable coming to you before coming to D and being like, hey, like, every you know, D kind of mean, bro.
Every single one of them.
Like, hey, D kind of mean, bro. Can you kind of like tell him, can you tell him that I need like a 50 cent raise? How do you facilitate those conversations with
me? I mean, they do, but when it comes to things like that, they never, who they need to talk to, because I'm going to go talk to him, and he going to be like, why the fuck did he come talk to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, why you want me to go tell him? He's going to talk to you about what
Either way, he's going to come right back and talk
scary,
to you.
So now he's probably not going to want to do what you did.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you hold out like I don't know now for 2 weeks. But he's pretty much the initial point of contact, you know what I'm saying? Because they kind of get a feel. And then, like I said, he's my cousin, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like I'm like,
yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I like it like that, though. Like, I'd rather it go... No, go through the chain of command. You know what I'm saying? It's better like that.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, as a boss, you kind of like sit back and you know that Jono's here on ground zero, really handling shit. You're more focused on bringing in the inventory and, you know, keeping everything afloat. He focuses on the financials and kind of just keeping everybody in line.
And that doesn't burn you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not burning me all the way.
It's a good even. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, because we stock the store off of my network.
Right.
It's not like I can call Nike or I have a Nike account where I got somebody that's back door. I stock the store off my Facebook groups.
Right.
I'm in 180-something Facebook groups. I got guys that call me, message me. I got guys that go to the casino at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they lost $1,000, and they was selling their shoes for 2 Gs, and now they're like, bro, just send me 400. I'll bring them to you. You know what I'm saying? My job is a little bit more... all day.
You don't stop working.
Yeah.
And how does that affect your like personal life? You know, without really diving too deep into it, do you got kids? Do you marry?
I don't have no kids. I got a girl. She's sitting out there looking at me right now. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, I mean, she knows my passion for this story.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, she has to compliment the situation. Otherwise, there won't be one. You know what I'm saying? So it's pretty simple. Like I can juggle it all. If I had to do everything, then it'd be a problem. It'd probably be burnt out. Like I said, I'm 44 years old, and I just now started getting gray hairs. You know what I'm saying? So we've just been trying to keep it low stress.
As
possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, as much as he can do, he can do it. As much as he can't, then I try to pick up the slack. You know what I'm saying? Like, this was a vision that I had, and I'm glad, like I said, he stepped up and was like, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm interested in getting into the stuff like that, you know, and it's been a learning process. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been open 6 years now.
Yeah.
So...
that's amazing.
To get back past
that. That deserves a... Because it's like we were saying, like, you know, statistically, you know, not a lot of businesses make it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's really hard to, like, see people who are from, like, your community, you know, black, brown people, entrepreneurs that are really doing the thing and really trying to, like, pave a way for themselves and make an honest living, you know?
Uh-huh.
And... man, that shit, it's amazing. It's amazing to see because, you know, it brings motivation and it sees, like, other people who look like us that'll be able to be like, man, if Deke and Jono can do it, we figure it out.
I can tell by the amount of people and the businesses that are opening locally and stuff like that. I can tell that what we did inspired a lot of people, made them come out their box and even just give it a try. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could tell just even the people that are in this mall. I'll say 5 or 6 stores open in this mall since we've been here, and it's all people we know. They don't necessarily come down here and they're not necessarily doing the same thing that we're doing, but they've seen the opportunity, which they've seen us have the opportunity, which allowed them to be able to at least call and see what's going on. Can I afford to be in the mall?
Right.
They in the mall. They got a little bit of money, but can I afford to be in the mall? Maybe this, that, and the other. And then where we can help them out and let them know what it is or whatnot, as much as we can without exposing our deal with the mall,
yeah,
we let them know, you know what I'm saying? Give it a try, you know what I'm saying? Just don't sign 10-year leases, 5-year leases, get you a year lease, get you a 3-month lease, do a pop up, do something simple first before you, you know what I'm saying, make it an obligation. You know what I'm saying?
Right. What about you, John? How do you balance the work life and everything like that? Like, do you, you know, what are some of your interests outside of the Soul Seekers?
I like to play sports and whatnot. And
you got a family, you got kids?
No kids. No girl.
Nothing.
Single, no. Just out here living.
I feel that, bro.
Yeah.
So what about, so in about 5 years, where do you guys see Soul Seekers at?
Right now, for the past year and a half, we've been looking to try to open up a second location. You know what I'm saying? This year, like I said, has probably been the roughest year that we had since we've been open.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is, it's give and take. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to see how this year ends.
You want to weather that storm a little bit.
And then see how the first quarter goes next year. Because this year, like I said, it's been a little rough. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as trying to keep up with the trends and all that, and like keep up with what everything wants, like all the wants of the people. Because like I said, we're a consignment shop, so it's not like when you come here, you see the shoe on the wall and we got your size.
Right.
It's more, it's probably like 80-20 that we don't.
Yeah.
But then it's our job to either get you to spend your money on something else or get the shoe for you. You know what I'm saying? So in the next 5-6 years, like I said, I hope to have at least one more location, and we're looking to open it in Texas.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Why Texas?
Because that's eventually where I want to build a house and just stay. I want to deal with two seasons. I've been here my whole life, 44 years. I just want to go somewhere where I can be outside. If I got a motorcycle, or if I do end up having kids, my girl has kids and stuff like that, where we ain't got to be so confined into doing indoor stuff. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So, I mean, like I said, we've been aggressively looking for a second location. I turned down a bunch of stuff this year. The way business has been going, being slow and stuff like that, I haven't even really been trying to get another spot. But I think after the new year and stuff like that, we'll start aggressively looking again. You know what I'm saying? Trying to open up a second spot.
What part of what with the Dallas, Houston area?
Dallas, Fort Worth.
Okay.
Try to be in like a college town and then next to the Army base, because here we're close to Great Lakes, the Naval base. Yeah, so that helps us a lot on the weekends and stuff like that. The 1st and the 15th, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, this year's been a little rough. I've been a little slow for the shoe game.
Yeah.
Just people in general, you know what I'm saying? So,
like, the shoe market is just, like, crashing almost. Yeah. So,
hey, you guys just got to weather that storm.
Yeah, for sure.
What about you, John? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you see yourself making the move to Texas as well? Or are you going to stay? You'll be in the Chicago location?
Yes, for sure. I feel like when I move to Texas, I could chill, you know, relax a little bit, start to find a family or start a family.
How old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You young. Yeah, so. So you guys had a golfing event. You know, I wanted to talk about that last time I was here. You know, it wasn't going to happen, but I saw that you guys had a whole golfing event. How did that go? And what made you guys like do a golfing event?
I golf a little bit, you know, and then a lot of my friends golf, and it's just something me and the fellas do, take them away from their families and whatnot, and just being on the course, I mean, smoke a little bit, drink a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like no
rules.
Have a
good time. Yeah, it's just
a good time for men. Yeah. I mean, women as well, but
I was just driving the golf cart.
You just went to drive the cart around.
I just wanted to see why everybody be golfing once chasing the ball.
I've been golfing once, bro. That shit's fun.
It's relaxing.
That shit's fun, especially
relaxing,
like if you go with like the right group.
Was all drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, all it is. You're just drinking, driving the golf cart.
But you want to chase a little ass ball drunk.
Yeah.
No, bro. They wasn't drunk. They was plastic.
Now, was this like you guys' first annual golf outing?
That was the first outing.
Is it safe to say there's going to be a second outing?
Oh, yeah.
Second, third, fourth.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep it going. We try to give it a little bit of the Augusta feel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like when they won, like most outings, you don't get stuff. We gave away gift bags to everybody who attended. And then we gave away gift bags to our sponsors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything worked out pretty good. And then if you won, everybody got green shirts, not the green jackets, but we got them polos.
Yeah.
That was like embroidered in gold lettering and stuff like that.
Because you guys did like teams, right? Like there was teams and shit?
18 four-man teams.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, was it like best ball, whoever?
Best ball.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It worked out better than I thought, you know what I'm saying? And, you know,
do you guys do events like that, like yearly or, you know?
Oh, yeah. We usually throw, like, we definitely do an anniversary party every year.
Yeah.
That just happened in August. Sometimes we do Halloween parties, New Year's. I think we got a New Year's coming this year.
Okay.
Probably a Black Wednesday party, you know.
Cool.
We do small events and stuff like that, and our customers come out, you know what I'm saying? They feel a little exclusive because we give out the little raffles and stuff like that for best shoes. And if you buy drinks, you get raffles to win shoes and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Or store credit. But we try to keep it, everything within
the community. We just try to stay engaged, you know what I mean?
You feel like that's important to do, especially like, you know, with, you know, because you said like networking is like the biggest thing.
The biggest thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a network, where are you going to sell your stuff
right.
to? You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people got a lot of shoes. They can't do nothing with it.
Yeah. They just sit in there collecting dust.
Exactly.
Okay. Man.
I mean, which is good, which is still at the end of the day a good investment because it was collecting dust. At some point in time, it's going to gain some money. It's going to it's going to be worth something. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people don't know that as well, too. You know what I'm saying?
They kind of just, you know, just kind of save them.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you'll end up getting like the 14s and shit that end up cracking on the soles. And then you wear them one time, you look like Offset because they all cracked up and now you can't ever wear them again.
You got 3s, 4s, all of that. They all do that shit.
Man, I appreciate you guys taking the time to sit down with me, man. This shit was cool. I'm glad we got it done.
Oh, yeah.
We do it again. I like this.
Yeah, you like this? Yeah,
I'm over acting like you shy, but then
you look like you shy, bro.
Never.
Nah, I appreciate you guys.
Next time I'll bring my Casamigos on here.
Yeah, say this. We got to do this shit again. We got to do it again. You know, for your next event, maybe we could do some and, you know, make something live or something and really get something going.
For sure.
All right, for sure. We'll continue to build then.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate everybody listening. You know, make sure you guys check out Soul Seekers here at the Gurney Mills Mall. What is the suite here?
303. Coming through entrance J.
Okay. So I'll make sure I'll link you guys' social medias. I'll link the Instagrams and everything. Make sure you guys give them a follow. Come check them out, man. They have a plethora. Like, I'm talking about like a shit ton of shit. They got the nice, cool-ass Supreme Director chairs. Are those for sale?
No.
None
of this is for sale. All my stuff. You don't see
his adult toys.
You don't see 2, 3, or 4 of them.
Yeah. I've only seen those one time on a podcast.
Yeah.
And that's the Joe Budden podcast when Rory and I were still on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So appreciate you guys coming on. Catch us on the next one.
All right, bro. For sure.